My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. I've had the joy of taking several trips to Montana for business and pleasure over the years. I was taken by the magnificent natural beauty and the wonderful people I encountered there. But I've recently learned of some rather unusual, frightening, and unearthly encounters there. My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, independent filmmaker Patrick Cutler, says the western Montana town of Deer Lodge and the nearby Red Gate community have been plagued with horrific murders, disappearances, paranormal activity, and sightings and films of UFOs and an alien. Patrick Cutler is the co-founder of Cutler Brothers Productions, a theater and film media production company that primarily focuses on comedy, major Broadway shows, and independent films. He's also co-creator of Das Fruit, an improv comedy group that tours the country doing live, completely improvised comedy. He spent 10 years in Alaska working on various multimedia projects and has recently returned to Montana to continue working on independent films. His website is cutlerbros.com, and he joins me this week to discuss his latest fact-based horror film, Red Gate. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited, Patrick Cutler. Welcome, Patrick.
Hey, thank you. Great to be on the show today.
Thank you so much for joining us. Please tell us about your background and how your career in filmmaking came to be.
It all started when I was about like 5 years old. My parents had an old VHS camera, and back at that time in like the 80s, a lot of people had these VHS cameras, these big cameras, and they were recording video for the first time. They had one out there having my older brother film them because they were always filming us as kids. So I asked him if I could try, and I picked up the camera right then. I was like, this is a lot of fun. And growing up in Western Montana, we didn't have a whole lot to do, and your imagination, everything is your best friend. Me and my brother, when we were kids, we just picked up that VHS camera, started filming our own little movies and plays and everything. And that's kind of how I really got into filmmaking. And then from there, I branched off to film school and a couple of different avenues, and finally just making my own full-length feature films independently.
You know, it's interesting because I've been out to Montana, as I shared with you offline, many, many times, and most of the folks, even if they're in a different profession, seem to have some type of a small ranch. Did you grow up in a ranch?
I didn't grow up in a ranch, but like there is a big rancher family that surrounds basically the entire town, and they have an entire road named after them in different areas of town. But yeah, there's a ton of ranches out here.
Absolutely. Now, with your older brother, you co-founded Cutler Brothers. Prior to Red Gate, what type of films has Cutler Brothers produced?
So our main focus from our childhood on has been comedy. So we do theater too, and we focus on comedy films and plays and everything. So the films that we produced in the past, our first four full-length feature films were all comedies. One was about friends growing up in college that went on to get married and all these different things happened. Then another one was about a dad that was abusive to his kid. It was kind of like a dark comedy. And then we had one called the Cottonwood City Project, which is about a bunch of filmmakers that come from California and go to Deer Lodge, Montana to make fun of people that live in Montana as being rednecks and stuff. So it was that one actually made the LA Comedy Festival, which is the biggest comedy festival in the country, which is really cool to go down there and have it screened in Hollywood and everything. And then we did The Adventures of Pete and Kit, which is a comic book, almost like series of 100 short skits within a film about relatives we made fun of that we had. And then Red Gate is the first horror film we've done. I would say the reason we're doing Red Gate, one of the reasons, is one of the first full-length feature films we ever tried was a horror film that really went sideways and just failed completely. So I think we eventually, deep down inside, wanted to do a horror film eventually again, and Red Gate kind of became it.
Now, just where can our listeners find the existing films that you've done?
Most of them are YouTube. Cutler Brothers YouTube is where we listed most of them, but you can also go to cutlerbrothers.com. If you go on, there's a lot of theater stuff on there, but if you go to films, there's a listing of the top three films we've done in the past, and you can find them all online. And yeah, they're all available on YouTube to watch right now. A couple on YouTube and a couple are on Amazon.com. Our first couple ones we got distributed by Amazon through their video distribution system.
Now, you also co-created an improv comedy group called Das Fruit. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so Das Fruit was a group we created a long time ago. So we used to watch that TV show, Whose Line Is It Anyway? And we got into improv, and basically we'd stay up to like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning doing improv in my best friend's parents' basement when we were in college and stuff. And eventually that branched off to founding this comedy group called Das Fruit. And it's all about doing stand-up improv. It's like a 2-hour show, and you do improv games within the show. And we started out with Whose Line games. Now we've developed into, like, we have over 100 improv games that we're capable of doing. And then we condense those into like 20 separate improv games into like one show. And it's really pretty hilarious to watch.
And obviously with audience participation.
Yeah, a ton of audience participation. We get all our suggestions from the audience. We have audience members come up and play different roles sometimes in different skits. It's a ton of fun.
And is that mostly in Montana, or do you perform elsewhere?
We started touring this past fall in Montana, but we're looking to kind of start touring across the Northwest and everything. Eventually go to Vegas and other places like that. So it's building as we speak.
Wonderful. Now, prior to working on Redgate, what was your personal take on UFOs and the paranormal?
I think I was one of many kids growing up that used saw like one show on aliens or whatever, and then it couldn't sleep forever because it always thought the aliens were going to come abduct you or something in the middle of the night. They had some creepy ones growing up. So I've always believed in aliens. I mean, I think the odds, probabilities that we are the only intelligence, species or whatever in the entire universe is so incredibly low, The fact that we haven't encountered another an intelligent species is really bizarre, to think about why there hasn't been contact. But I've always had a very strong belief in the paranormal. There's been a lot of hauntings and things in the area I grew up in, and I've seen ghosts myself. So I've always been a big believer in the paranormal.
Tell us about that. Tell us about the ghosts.
So in our town, there is an old Montana State Prison Museum where the old prison used to exist, because where I'm from in Deer Lodge, Montana, it is the home of the Montana State Prison. And the old prison, they kept up on the outside of town and turned into a museum. So we used to go in there because there's this little small theater in there called the Gunport Theater. We used to do plays and theater in there a lot during the summers. So we get keys to the old prison, and at night, the place is haunted, so we would do our own personal ghost tours through the old cell blocks and stuff in this prison. And you would hear things rattling, you'd hear all kinds of bizarre noises and things of that nature. They've done ghost tours where there's different types of orbs of activity where they actually measure the activity. It's been on the show Ghost Hunters before, and you see all kinds of different, people have actually felt been pushed by a spirit or whatever physically. They've actually felt being pushed by inside that prison.
And have you ever caught anything on film inside?
We've done some audio things in there that we got some pretty creepy stuff, but it's hard. The audio is a little bit harder to confirm, but video wise, we haven't caught anything in there. But we do have several situations where people, like during our plays, there's the roof and everything. And we've had people during our play once come up there like, "Hey, you guys need to keep it down out there, because we can hear people like walk around on top of the roof of the theater." And we're like, "Well, nobody's out there. We're all backstage. There's nobody on top of the roof." So it's like stuff like that happens where it's like, "Okay, what's going on here?"
That's interesting. How long have you been doing that type of paranormal investigation?
I think probably about 15 years off and on. I wouldn't say it's necessarily a continuous thing, but off and on.
Wonderful. Now, in terms of UFOs, you had mentioned watching the movies and seeing television programs. Have you had any personal experiences?
One of the biggest experiences I've had is there's a place out of town, and it's up in the hills, in the mountains, and you park your car there, and it's like a flat, almost uphill type place. You park on this road, and your car, you put it in neutral, and your car starts moving forward, like something is like dragging it forward. It's really creepy place outside of town. And that's definitely one of them. I've seen by the football field when we were kids, you used to have a hillside you used to play on, and I ran down the hill one time and I saw a ghost from a distance. So I started running at it, this weird shaped glowing ghost it looked like, and then as it got closer, it like disappeared. Those are kind of some of my top stories.
How did it make you feel when you saw that?
It was interesting. It was really interesting from a distance. You're like, what is that in the light? And you can see it clearly. You start running towards it. This is like 20 yards away. And it was just weird. By the time I got there, it just disappeared. It was like, what did we just see? Because me and my friend was there too with me. We both confirmed we saw it. So it was right after my grandfather actually passed away. So I didn't know if that was him or what it was. It was really bizarre.
It's interesting because I saw my grandfather in spirit when he had passed prior to finding out about it. And that's something that often happens, especially with kids who are sensitive to subtle energy and seeing spirit or understanding spirit in whatever way they understand it. And that's not an uncommon story of a visitation by a beloved one to a child when they pass. So it's possible. It's very possible. With reference to that road that you talked about, where the car, you put it in neutral and it starts moving. Did you by chance take a plane or any device to see whether or not it was a flat road or whether it was tilted in one way or another?
I haven't measured it myself. I've traveled across that road quite a bit, like during the day, not stopping, just not even thinking about it. It was like one of those things where like you were in high school or college and someone talks about it, and then you get a wild hair in the middle of the night and say, let's drive up in the middle of the night in the middle of the mountains. What could go wrong? And then you like park it yourself out there, and it's not sure if it does it as strong during the day. It's just creepier at night.
There's a place in Pennsylvania where they have this road that you park your car and it's uphill, and you park your car, you put it in neutral, and your car actually goes uphill against gravity. What it turns out to be is it's an optical illusion. It's not really uphill, it's actually downhill. But the way it looks, the perception is, it looks like you're going uphill. So that's the reason why I asked if you measured the road.
Oh, really? Okay, that's
Yeah,
interesting. Maybe that
it's really fascinating.
might be.
So I understand that Montana is one of the top five states for UFO sightings, and I recall having my own sighting in the Red Lodge area when I visited there in the 1990s. Any idea why Montana is up there on sightings?
I think sometimes these more remote areas, for whatever reason, when it comes to mountains and everything else, seems to attract a lot of this activity. There's also I think the history in a lot of these places, like Deer Lodge, for example, there's a history that's kind of skewed towards settlers coming in and having a massacre of Native Americans here that has been a long said story that the town was buried on a Indian burial ground, which is kind of odd. But I think there's a lot of strange activity because it's so rural and mountainous and everything else that a lot of things aren't quite as highly filled with people as like areas in other areas of the United States.
Have you gotten reports, other than working on Redgate, have you gotten reports from other folks of sightings?
Yes, I've actually got a long list of reports, and a lot of it's in the actual movie. The problem is a lot of people just don't want to come on camera and talk about it. I
Yeah.
don't know. They're either afraid or it was traumatizing them. We had a screening, a private screening of the film a while back, and one of the people that's actually in it, that he has alien footage and stuff in the film, he didn't even show up for the screening, so and he didn't respond to me or anything. So I was like, that's kind of weird, but it kind of affects people differently. It's kind of weird.
Tell us a little more about the Deer Lodge Redgate area. What's the population of the area? What is it renowned for?
So the population of like the city town area is about 2,500 people, but the area as a whole is probably, you talk about like the outside ranches and the outside places, the suburb type areas, is around 5,000 people. It's right smack in the middle of this big valley with really, it's like almost like a, I would describe almost like a Paramount film studios type mountain in the background. It's a really beautiful mountain, overlooks the town. There's mountains on both sides of the town. And it's right between the more popular known towns of Montana of Helena, Montana, which is the capital, Missoula, which is about 70 miles down the road, and then Butte, Montana, where a lot of mining took place. It's right in the middle of those three western towns. And it's been known, it's had the Montana State Prison there for, I don't know, whenever the prison came to be. The history of Durash kind of goes, they came to us and said, you can either have the state capitol here or the Montana State Prison. And they said, we'll take the prison. That was always a joke in town.
I wonder why. I wonder why.
The other, like a lot of small Western towns, they go off of factories or whatnot. But the prison, and we had at the time we had the biggest Louisiana Pacific mill in the country, and now it's called something else. So the mill and the prison kind of provide most of the workforce for Deer Lodge.
And what's it like in terms of the environment of the folks there?
There, it's kind of old school. Sometimes it's like when it comes to like say like politics, political correctness, things of that nature. It seems like George is always about at least 10 years behind everybody else. So I would say they're kind of old school a little bit. A lot of people frequent the bars because those are the main areas that people meet at most of the time. And so there's a pretty strong bar presence in town. You have, I mean, for me personally, I'm not like a farmer rancher type person at all. My dad was a teacher and a head football coach, so I just didn't have time to really get into farming, hunting, all that stuff. But you have a lot of people that are big into farming, hunting, outdoor stuff like that. A lot of people, a lot of cowboys, depends on what bar you go to. A lot of people like that in the area.
And you never had the aspiration to be a cowboy, huh?
No. I once I liked a horse when I was a kid, so my parents tried to get me into like cowboy boots and horses and all these things. I never had any interest in it, to tell you the truth. I went along with it though, so for a while.
One of the things that really impressed me when I was out there was how nice folks were to me, especially when I was in the Billings area. Like I said, I was up in the Red Lodge area. I went down to Custer Country, that whole area, and also a place called Beartooth Pass, which is absolutely breathtaking between Montana and Wyoming. If anyone ever gets a chance to get out there and take a vacation out there, drive the Beartooth Pass. That is an amazing thing to see. The landscape and the mountain and just the natural beauty that exists there. You folks are blessed to live in that state.
Yeah, it's beautiful all over. It's crazy. You talk about like Billings even is away from most of the mountains and everything, but it's not that far of a drive from Billings till you get to like some really beautiful areas and stuff. And Western Montana itself, like I'm gonna be honest with you, I spent most of my life there. I traveled to California some as a kid, but I really thought as a kid growing up that everywhere was covered by like mountains and stuff. And then I moved to Pittsburgh, drove all the way out to Pittsburgh, and I was like, oh, I guess that's only Montana.
Oh yeah, it's a little bit different, but the landscape there and just the general beauty, and of course, you have that famous trail running through Montana.
Yeah, you got the Yellowstone Trail going through Montana, and also the Lewis and Clark Trail, and yeah, there's a lot of historical things you can look at in Montana.
Absolutely. Now, the research you shared with me suggests that this area of Montana has a history of what we might call high strangeness. How far back does this go, and what are some of the unusual paranormal experiences that folks have had there?
So this goes back decades. I mean, this goes back a long time. So with the one of the original stories of the Red Gate area and stuff in Durage is that they had a film several maybe about 20 years ago, something like that, where these people reported that they, as kids, grew up actually having visitations and relationships with aliens that were visiting them, and like they'd be playing out in their backyard or something. These aliens would appear, and these people have these long stories about how they kept these relationships with these aliens for their entire childhood and everything, and it goes on and on and on and on. And that's part of the Red Gate story is these constant visitations from aliens. We've had people, everything from there's people that live out towards the Reagan area today where they'll see strange things flying in the sky all the time, with no explanation of what it really is or whatnot. All kinds of things, just bizarre instances of murder and things of that nature, and seeing things. There's been a lot of strange things that go beyond paranormal that's happened in a small community that you wouldn't think would happen in a community that size.
Getting back to those children who said that they had contact with aliens growing up, did they share that they were afraid of the aliens or that they found that the aliens were friendly to them?
They were quite friendly with the aliens, actually, to tell you the truth. Yeah, all their experiences, for the most part, were positive ones that they had reported on. It was a really interesting story.
And did they share that the aliens gave them information or taught them?
I think they might have gave some, but not a whole lot of information. There wasn't a whole lot of information exchanges. It was almost like, if you ever read about some of the old lost books of the Bible about how angels and demons, angels coming down from Earth wanting to be more human or understand human or have that human experience, it sounded like a lot of like that was happening with the aliens, wanted to understand human beings and what that experience is like. And that's what they were coming down to meet with these kids and everything.
My guest this week is Patrick Cutler. We're talking about his new film, Redgate. Patrick, please tell our listeners where they can find out more about you and your films and Redgate.
You can find out more about our films at Cutler Brothers, cutlerbros.com. Once again, that's cutlerbros.com. That's where all our films and theater projects are listed at. A lot of that's theater. If you want more on like the Redgate film, if you go on either Twitter or Instagram and just go to the hashtag Redgate film, search that hashtag, and I've been posting about it for a very long time now. You'll pull up all kinds of information about Redgate film. Or you can look me up on those social media sites, Patrick W. Cutler. I'm all over there.
And we'll be back with more of Patrick after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Patrick Cutler. We're talking about his new film, Redgate. Patrick, are there any stories of this nature, the strange nature, reported or shared by the indigenous Blackfeet peoples of the area?
There's some stories that are shared by them, for sure. I don't necessarily have all their stories, although Deer Lodge and the Reagan area is kind of between different reservations. I'd say between more as in like a couple hours away from different reservations, because a lot of Montana is reservations and everything else. They do have a lot of stories, but I don't have a lot of information from them directly on those like specific stories.
Are there any of the indigenous tribes that you do have some stories from, like the Crow?
Trying to think if I have anything off the top of my head for
the reason I'm asking is I had met someone from the Crow Nation when I was out there many years ago, and they shared stories of what they used to call the Sky People, and I'm just wondering if this is in conjunction with what we're talking about.
It could. That sounds really familiar. The Sky People. I actually, to tell you the truth, I actually lived up in Alaska for a while, and the Native Alaskans up there. I actually lived around them a lot. I have a lot of stories from them. They have different crazy stories of different things about this creature that it goes out. You know, in Alaska, they have the ice goes out in the ocean. They have this creature that goes way out there, and they say people will see it thinking it's a light or something. Someone's stranded on the ice, and they'll go out there, way out there. It's called the Itchigook. That's what it's called. And when they get out there, it'll be nothing, and they'll be stranded on the ice, and they'll be lost, and they'll just disappear.
Wow, that's an interesting story. Has there been a history of cattle or wild animal killing and mutilation, as it has been reported in other UFO hotspots out there?
Yeah. So a lot of it, there's always cattle mutilation to some extent. A lot of it is, unfortunately, wolves. Wolves, I always hear a story about wolves that attacked someone's cattle and tore it up randomly out of nowhere. And that's pretty typical. But occasionally you'll have, cattle that's kind of destroyed out of nowhere. And there's not necessarily like really any rational reason to explain it sometimes.
And specifically cattle mutilation in the sense that has been reported elsewhere where UFO activity has been of a nature where there's no blood present, that it looks like it's been precision cut with a laser, that type of thing?
Sometimes there's things that I haven't seen. I don't have a specific account to tell or something like that. But there has been mutilation instances that I've heard of that do not look like it was an animal at all. It's just kind of really random, you know, like I said, a cut with a laser or something that was more human or non-animal in that sense.
There's an interesting and quite macabre story about how Redgate got its name. Please share that with us.
So Redgate originally got its name from this old, it's kind of folklore or I mean, some people, it depends who you ask. It was told around the campfires, your kids. And basically the story goes like this is, Durage in West Montana, there's always these little camps all over and before this town actually formed. And one of the camps was outside of town. It's called this place called Emory, and they had cabins. There was a mine there. It was a whole community out in the mountains. And it's now today it's just torn down cabins. But at the time it was, several people lived there and they'd mine everything else. And there was a homestead that this guy owned out there, and he's a farmer and everything. And one day he comes home from farming and everything, and he goes home one day and kills his wife and his two kids. And then a couple of days later, people see him outside his farm and everything, painting his gate red with their blood. Oh. And that is like the original story of Redgate. And it's just, yeah, we always grew up with that. I was like, that is such a weird story.
Now, is that a myth, or have you done any research? Have you found any evidence that it actually happened?
I think it's more. I've never found any evidence, you know, growing up and today that actually did occur. But it's interesting though, because they have that story. That story goes back a long, long, long time, and that story takes place before aliens or anything happens that I've heard of. So it's kind of interesting that. That story takes place, and then after that, not long after that, you start to see these UFO and alien sightings in that same area. So it's like, I kind of wonder where the origin of that story actually came, who created it, and what was it based on or anything.
Have other unusual murders taken place?
Yes. So there was a brutal one several years back. So we do theater inside the town of Deer Lodge, which Red Gate's about, I don't know, 5-10 miles outside of town in the mountains. And basically there was this lady and this guy, they were from out of town, and they moved to Deer Lodge area, and they had this house and everything that was kind of in the Red Gate area. And she would come into town, and she was doing one of our theater productions on stage inside town at our new theater, which is like downtown Deer Lodge. And she was super happy that her and her husband, they had a couple kids and everything, and everything was going great. And then one day, and this is really, really creepy, because this almost sounds like very similar to the actual Red Gate story. So he comes home and was mad about something, and he shoots the two kids. He murders her, and he lays them down on their bed, and he lights the entire house on fire, and he sits down and kills himself. The house burns down. Yeah. It was shocking. It was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in my life.
Have there been others?
There's a very nice lady. Used to be a gas station in the middle of downtown Deer Lodge, and it's no longer in operation because she was murdered. What happened was she worked this gas station. Very nice lady. She went home one day, and her husband was kind of like a drunk, alcoholic kind of type of guy, which I never knew about her husband at all. But so I was kind of surprised to find out that, you know, she was so nice and married someone like that. But he just had a fit of rage one night and took out a knife and just stabbed her to death, like 100 different times, just stabbed her to death. And then he gets up the next morning casually just covered in blood and goes right into the police station and says, "Hey, I murdered my wife last night."
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's really shocking. You're like, how does that happen? Like, what has to go through that person's mind? Or some people say in a high strange area, it's almost like they're possessed by some kind of spirit or something that takes over, and it's just crazy.
Unbelievable. You had mentioned that there were some theories that the area or the town was built over an indigenous grave area. Has anybody tried to confirm that?
So here's the story, and this is kind of covered within the film itself, is Basically, when I did research for the film, what happened was I tried to confirm whether this story was true or not. And I went back, and there was a group of people called Métis people. And what they are is they're a mix of European settlers and Native Americans. It's like a 50-50 mix. And they would come to a place called Spanish Fork, which is basically where Deer Lodge is. It's kind of where the river comes into town and everything. And they would hunt and gather, and they were the first people to really be in the Deer Lodge area. And they'd stay there quite often, sometimes seasonally. And they were the main people that were there at the very start before Deer Lodge was founded. We have, another story. Some other settlers come into town, and they actually originally settled a place outside of town called Garrison. And the Métis people were Deer Lodges at Spanish Fork. And basically, the settlers that found Garrison were all, you know, white European settlers, and they left. And then they came back, and they found a Deer Lodge. And basically, the Métis people that were there just suddenly disappeared. Like, there's no historical record of where they went. They just disappeared. Like, they just are gone all of a sudden, written out of the history books. So it kind of gives credence to, like, okay, what actually happened to them? Like, how did they just disappear all of a sudden?
Have there been any sightings of any type of cryptozoological beings like Bigfoot in that area?
I had a friend tell a story that he was camping once up in the hills and saw something like a huge, like 8-foot type animal look very similar to like a Bigfoot type sighting. He was just sitting there watching, and then it suddenly just disappeared as soon as it did appear. Him and his friends were camping once and saw it. That's about all I've had for Bigfoot, but there haven't been a lot when it comes to that, but there have been a couple stories similar to that.
What were the events that actually inspired your film Red Gate?
The original, so I started writing, I was up and living in Alaska for like 10 straight years, and I was up there writing it. I wanted to do, looking back, I wanted to do something similar along the lines of the original Chainsaw Massacre film, where it was kind of based on true events, and we had that kind of style of filming and everything. So I was going to do it originally based on the original folklore story of Redgate and the guy and his thing and everything. But then the more research I did, the more things I kind of uncovered and discovered, was I wanted to do it more based on true events that happened. And those events, when it comes to like the murders and everything, and then the alien sightings, and then the story of the guy painting his gate red, those are kind of the events mixed all in together to make the Redgate film. On top of, there's been a huge meth drug addiction problem in town also. And there is a story, this is part of the Redgate story within the film, is there's a story where these people are up at this really the most popular campground site out of town in the mountains, and there it's a family hanging out, and they have their dog and everything hanging out, and all of a sudden their little family dog disappears. And all of a sudden, these meth heads show up in this truck, and they go, "Hey, what's going on?" And they're like, "Hey, how's it going?" And they pull out this thing, and they just chuck at the family, and it's the freaking dog's head. They had sawed it off with like a pocket knife. Yeah, it was like the creepiest story. I was like, "Oh my gosh, that's terrible!" It's like terrible. So that's kind of based on, a little bit on that too.
Just like, there's just a backtrack for a second, and for listeners who are not familiar with Montana, I've been out there. It's beautiful out there. It is just, I would call it idyllic. And if I could ever get my wife to leave New York, which is like the old Green Acres story, she doesn't want to leave New York. But if I could ever get my wife to move out of New York, we'd move to Montana. I'd want to move to Montana anyway, because it's just so beautiful, so idyllic, natural. And to hear these horrible stories, one would think that there's something else going on here.
Yeah, it's really creepy. I mean, it's bizarre. But you get in these isolated areas, and it's kind of similar to Alaska too. When it gets dark and it's kind of dreary during these long periods of time, and people out there sometimes they just get bored. There's not a whole lot to do, say like in a place like in New York or whatever. So it's almost like they get captivated into these darker versions of themselves and all these things going on and this weird energy. There's certain places you can go and you can almost feel this weird, like, you ever seen the Stephen King movie It, Derry, Maine, where it's like that weird energy in that small town. Deer Lodge kind of has that feel to it if you ever go to it. Just kind of weird.
Just out of curiosity, was there any mining that took place there or near there?
So there was the Emery mine out of town, and you could go up there today and you could see it. It's not an operation or anything, but you can drive up there today and kind of check out where the old cabins were and stuff. And it wasn't like a gigantic mine or anything. It was just one of the smaller mines. And you could actually walk down into the mine if you want to on these little tracks where you can check it out. It's kind of cool. It's just kind of sitting there wide open.
And what were those mines for?
I want to say they were for copper, to tell you the truth. I want to say they were copper mines. I wouldn't fully confirm that, but I believe that's what they were mining.
So there's no chance that anything of a radioactive nature was being mined there?
I don't think so. There was anything radioactive. They weren't, I mean, they closed quite a while ago, so I don't think there was much radioactive stuff going on at the time.
Yeah, because when you say people feel things in the area, sometimes there are natural things in the ground, elements and so on and so forth, that contribute to that sense, that feeling of something bizarre or strange happening there. And I'm just curious as to if that was ever, if anyone ever did geological survey.
Yeah, totally. That's honestly a really good idea, actually. Like my buddy, so it's kind of weird. The Redgate area, so this multi-billionaire from Seattle, or maybe he's not quite a billion, but he owns tons of this massive amounts of land that surround this Redgate area. So my buddy up there kind of has access to all that land. So he kind of takes me through that every once in a while. But every time I say, "Hey, can we do some more investigations for Redgate?" He's kind of like, I don't like it up there, man. It's weird and creepy. That the area just doesn't feel right.
You know, just it would be interesting if you have the opportunity to ever go and visit that area and just sort of travel through the areas we're talking about, if you could bring something like an EMF meter with you to see if there's any type of strange magnetic anomalies, and or a Geiger counter to see if there's any radioactivity.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. And a lot of the areas, you know, they're not very hard to get to, but that would be a really good idea, because I'd be curious to know myself. Yeah, I never thought about that.
My guest is Patrick Cutler. We're talking about his film Redgate. We'll be back with more after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Learn more at She Can STEM, a message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can. But it's just as important to take time for yourself. AARP can help. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT. G-O-A-T. Acronym. Stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Right now, our country feels divided, but there's a place where people are coming together.
I was nervous to talk to someone so different than me.
Me too.
Love Has No Labels and One Small Step are helping people with different political views, beliefs, and experiences connect through conversation, and it feels good.
This conversation gives me hope.
It gives me a lot of hope, too.
Take a step toward bringing our country and your community together. Start a conversation at lovehasnolabels.com/onesmallstep. A message from StoryCorps, Love Has No Labels, and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Patrick Cutler. We're talking about his film, Redgate. Patrick, what did ranch foreman Don Bromley capture on his trail cam?
What he appeared to capture from my observation, a lot of other people, is a fifth dimensional being that is trying to make its way up this hill and went right in front of the camera. So it's trying to go up this hill. It looks like, it's hard to describe, it's whited out alien fifth dimensional being that's just flying by at like 100 miles an hour.
Okay, why are you calling it fifth dimensional?
That's a term that I got from, he's been talking to several people in the UFO arena, and a lot of people have called it a fifth dimensional being because it comes from, I don't know how to explain exactly like the dimensions or whatever, but it comes from a different, that type of dimension where beings look like that when they're kind of captured on a camera or whatever.
So it was trying to manifest in our dimension? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, I think that's what we're saying here. Yeah.
And for our listeners who haven't seen, you can see this, by the way. There are several ways you can see this image that Don Bromley captured. How can they do that?
You can go on, let me just pull up. I think you could search, if you search Redgate Alien Montana. You can pull it up by just searching Redgate Alien Montana, and the image will pull on the very front of
Google. And it basically, I've watched it several times, it basically looks like you're looking at what's been described as the alien gray being, but very, very light, almost as if it's transferring between one dimension and another. Would you say that's a good description?
Yes. Yeah. Very much like overexposed a little bit, but flying through the camera. Yeah.
Absolutely. Have others filmed alien beings or UFOs in the area?
There is, I think there's a lot under the surface that I could probably get more and more the more I talk to people. I had one person that was able to give me some footage of, he came home from a movie one day with his kid, and these weird white orbs of light were flying around in the sky, and it looked, there weren't fireworks, there weren't anything. He had an older, crummier cell phone at the time he started filming it. And he said that the film doesn't do it justice, but just watching it is really bizarre, these white orbs flying around in the sky.
And I understand there'll be never before seen footage in Redgate, is that correct?
Yes, and that is actually the footage I've mentioned here, is that he never, it's never been released online or anything, even on Facebook, nothing. And that's the footage in the film that's released. It's really bizarre to watch, especially his live reaction to it. It's just crazy.
Are there any what they call the CE5 or the Close Encounter 5 groups out there, people who try to use meditation and send messages out to attract alien activity into the area?
I haven't heard of any of that going on personally. I know that the stories of those kids that had contacted the aliens growing up, I don't think they live here anymore, but I know they've came back and done some investigations themselves. But yeah.
Have there been any reports of either contact or abduction in the area?
I don't think there has been any abduction reports that I know of. Referencing the film from like 15 years ago, with the kids growing up and talking with the aliens. Beyond that, I hadn't heard of any.
I would tend to think that folks out in that part of the country might be resident to share anything of that nature.
Yeah, it's really strange. Yeah, a lot of people don't want to come forward and talk about it, because another thing is there's a lot of people that are pretty grounded in Dirt Lodge, and I mean that, like, once you get your foot kind of grounded in a small town, you know, it's different if you're in a small town and everybody knows you and everything else. You know, word gets out that you're talking to aliens, and, you know, that kind of follows you around town for like the rest of your life.
I can imagine, unless everyone had a common experience. And have there been other disappearances of folk?
There hasn't been. There's been people that have disappeared temporarily and then someone found them. There's been, I'd say, unfortunately, there's been a lot of suicides in the past in Duraj. There was a bizarre suicide. Unfortunately, someone drove up in the middle of the hills here and drove way up there and dug a snow cave to hide their body in so no one could find them, and then killed themselves, which is really unfortunate. Yeah. And then there's another one when someone drove up in the hills with a shotgun and then called one of their loved ones and said they just shot themselves in the chest. And by the time they got there, he was dead. So, yeah, there's been a lot of suicides like that in the area.
And again, unless it's related to the meth problem that you mentioned, there may be some other stuff going on there that is worthy investigating and finding out why people are doing things of that nature. What other strange events will be covered in your film, Redgate?
Beyond what we covered here, there's some strange. The film kind of takes on a story of following these hikers up in the mountains. And are you familiar with the Stanford experiment?
Yes.
The film kind of takes on that, where it's like. The point of the film was to put these people up in this Redgate-type area, way up in the hills and these lakes and everything, and isolate them completely. And the crew and the cast are completely separate. So the hikers and the crew actually filming are completely separate, and just seeing how they react to different things happening throughout the film. So that was kind of one of the objects of the initial film, was to have that kind of atmosphere, almost like a Blair Witch type atmosphere, as they're in these really creepy areas and everything. And, you know, who knows what might happen.
In essence, what you're going to be doing is sharing factual events that actually took place, and you're going to into like a docudrama. Is that what this is going to be?
Yes. Somewhat like that, except it's not quite, it's kind of like a mix. It's not quite like a Blair Witch type thing. It's more like, you know, camera setup and some really good, it kind of turns a little bit, you know, not that the giving spoilers, where it turns into kind of something else partway through. It's really pretty interesting.
Montana Tech professor Michael Masters, who authored a book called Identified Flying Objects, says that UFOs might be future humans traveling back in time. What do you think of his ideas?
I think that's really interesting. To say, because you think about time travel, and a lot of people think that we're going to eventually create a time machine. And you think, well, if we eventually created a time machine, wouldn't people already be traveling back in time and checking things out or whatever? And wouldn't, you know, so that's kind of a really interesting thing, especially when you think about how we might evolve as human beings. Maybe we look like a fifth dimensional being by the time we, you know, start traveling back in time.
When will the film be released, and how may our listeners view the film?
So, I get that question a lot. And with independent filmmaking, it's really pretty tricky. It's not quite like, say, a major studio releases a film. They have the production schedule. They have the release date. They have everything lined up. They might hit like one or two big-name festivals along the way, and then they release the film. With independent filmmaking, it's like you got to like promote it, do the film festival circuit. And then after the film festival circuit, hopefully to get a distribution deal of some kind, and then finally release the film. So like right now I'm in the process of going on through the film festival circuit and everything else and marketing and everything. So I don't have an official release date right now, but I'm hoping the film will be released within like the next 6 months, hopefully.
And what type of rating will this have?
This will definitely have an R rating for language and violence.
Alrighty. And what about the horror part of it?
There's some pretty brutal scenes in there. I'll say that. I'll say the film's it keeps changing a little bit, but I think that the final rendition of the film is kind of locked in for the most part now. But the best part of the film I've had since day one is the actual scenes of macabre are pretty brutal in the film. So wouldn't take your kids to it.
I understand. What's next for Patrick Cutler and Cutler Brothers?
So what's next is we're going to go back on tour with Das Fruit this January, and we're going to start doing more improv shows. We got our theater schedule we just released on Christmas coming up for our regular theater. And then we're doing some more films and stuff coming up. I think we might shoot another film in like March. And then also we're working on getting Redgate out there to as many people as possible. And hopefully after Redgate is a massive success, there'll be a Redgate 2 to kind of follow up it.
That would be fascinating. In fact, when you start working on Redgate 2, maybe I'll come out there and work with you and see if we can't find some of the strange stuff that I've been talking about, either geologically or something in the air, something in the environment, and do a little bit of a UFO and paranormal investigation of my own.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be awesome to have you out. It's a beautiful area.
Absolutely. My guest, Patrick Cutler, his new film is going to be called Redgate. Patrick, one more time, please tell our listeners where they can find out more about Cutler Brothers and all the great stuff you do.
So you can go to CutlerBros.com. Again, that's CutlerBros.com for most of our theater and everything else. And if you want to know about Redgate Film, just go on Instagram and hashtag Redgate Film, or on Facebook, but mainly Instagram. I have most of the stuff on there, hashtag Redgate Film. Or just search on YouTube and you'll pull up a lot of stuff on there.
And you have a Facebook page too, right?
Yes, a Facebook page. Patrick W. Cutler is my Facebook page, and I post all the stuff on Redgate there too.
Patrick, thank you for joining us and starting this new year with a bit of the creeps for us.
Yes, it's going to be pretty creepy, hopefully.
And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor, the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.